Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies. If you missed part one, go back and listen. Jennifer Gligorek shared powerful insights on crisis intervention, ethical entrepreneurship, and building resilient businesses. Today, we're going somewhere bigger, literally. Jennifer is also the Minister of Equity and Resources of Asgardia, the world's first digital nation, and just recently, she celebrated a milestone as her name, bio, and likeness reached the moon. Jennifer, welcome back to the show.
I'm excited to be back here again. Nice to see you.
So let's pick right there, right? What was it like to see your personal legacy tied to such a historic event?
It was absolutely unbelievable. I would say that big props goes to our Minister of Culture, which is Cheryl Gallagher. She is also a fellow Texan like I am, which is odd because most everyone is in another country. We do have our own smattering of Americans, but pretty much it's very global. And she just worked really hard. She worked with different entities like Firefly and Copernic Space, and we were able to secure a payload. And we were able to get our national assets on the moon. So my job as the Minister of Equity and Resources, in addition to my long-term goals, will be to have different representative offices. So our AROs, Asgardia Representative Offices, kind of like embassies, or, you know, physical ones that are around the U.S. But because I have a big background in the digital space and, you know, from gaming to virtual worlds. Right now, our biggest embassy is in the place called Second Life. So we had a big party. There are people logged in from all over the world. I had a really incredible DJ and we danced. And then it was at midnight when they do these things. So we got to watch the live NASA feed along with the Asgardia feed. And we had commentary. So it was the other ministers. Yeah. And we watched it. It was two launches. The first one's when it launched. You know, that's always a big deal to see it go. And Cheryl was in Cape Canaveral in Florida. So getting to watch that. And then the second, I guess, launch party we have is when it actually was deposited on the moon. And so we have our national assets there. And part of that is, you know, the name of notable Asgardians, their biographies, their likenesses, all in digital format, of course, because we don't want to clutter up the moon, right? We have to be, we care about space junk. In fact, we need to be removing some space junk, but this was pretty important for us as a nation to be able to be there. And so I was pretty excited about it. I was very excited and touched. And what was really touching are the people that the other Asgardians that were there, and some of them had tears in their eyes. This has been 7 long years. You know, a lot of people made fun of us. You know, we were on, I think, the Samantha Bee show at one point. She was a late night talk show host for a little bit. Yeah. And she came to one of our meetings, our national meetings, and it was pretty funny, but I think we did really well. We represented ourselves well, even though we knew we were going to get lampooned because, you know, people are cynical now.
Closed-minded, you know? Cynical, all those things. Jennifer, you know what? It's a really fun coincidence that I get to talk to you about the Asgardia story because, like I was mentioning to you in the green room, one of my clients recently just interviewed this gentleman. And his next thing is space law. Like, he's focusing on doing space law, and he's working with companies all around the world. In fact, there's a company in Japan, and their mission and job is to clean the space junk. it's kind of amazing how, you know, I didn't know I was going to be talking about space till I hear him talking, and I'm talking to you here about it. So, Jennifer, let's go back. How did you first get involved with Asgardia, and what about their vision spoke to you?
Well, at first it was like, oh, these are a bunch of people LARPing, but I thought, you know, I just thought it was, you know, like D&D, Dungeons and Dragons, like just the people talking about one day we're going to be in space. And I thought, well, that seems, those seem like cool people. I mean, let me hear more about it. Right. Like, what do you mean a digital nation? You know, what can we do that's different? Is this people really getting together? Are we going to solve problems? Like, what are, you know, it's just, I'm curious about it. You know, I grew up near Clear Lake and Clear Creek, you know, so I'm NASA. I'm very close to there. My sister worked at NASA. She trained the astronauts. She is a certified scuba diver, and she would be in the big pool that a lot of people have seen with the astronauts. My dad was a pipe fitter who worked at NASA. So I know astronauts, you know, I mean, that's just where we grew up, right? So it's always going to be fascinating to me. And as I looked at it, I thought, oh, this is interesting. They seem pretty coordinated. There's people, you know, everywhere. And well, I want to do this. And then they had open elections for parliament. And I thought, well, how fun is that? Like, I want to know how to do that. I can be someone of value. I did a video, and I have a platform, and of course my platform involved building a bridge, you know, a digital bridge to eventually the space bridge where we can meet around the world in digital spaces. And that would be a digital real estate. It would be a value for Asgardia, but then also, you know, as a way for us to have a platform to where we can build these laws, because you're right. Lawyering that's what's going to do space. And I've got a great story about that here in a moment that's going to tie in with what you said. But I ended up being elected. I was elected by over like a million people, which really shocked me. I didn't know that that was that big. Wow. I was kind of very naive. And then I went to my first parliamentarian. There's 150 other parliamentarians. And the head of parliament is Lembit Opik, which, if you're not from the UK, you would probably not be familiar with Lembit. But if you're in the UK, you'd be like, wait a minute, the parliament guy for Britain, the one that dated the Spice Girl, the one whose two parents are like world-class mathematicians, that Lembit Opik, and it's him, right? And then I started meeting all these other people. And then all of a sudden I was like, ooh, okay. So there are Nobel Prize winners. There's all these amazing people. And then there's me, an entrepreneur, you know, like, and I little bit of imposter syndrome. I'm not going to lie, you know, like, oh, I'm going to really have to provide my value. Then all of a sudden it went from, this is real, you know? And, we worked for several years, and, I realized I had to show them what an entrepreneurial mindset could do. Cause most of the people that were interested in it are interested from science or culture, let's bring art, teachers, you know, that sphere of that, but not a lot of entrepreneurs. And of course, for me, I'm like, well, people aren't going to get involved in it unless they can make some money and live a life and do things. So where can I plug in? So I built an intranet for the parliament, which they still use. It's still there. And eventually I got the notice of the prime minister, Lena Dewin, who was the head of UNICEF for Europe. Her husband is a cosmonaut. She's an incredible, incredible woman. And she invited me, along with Lembit suggested me, to apply to be minister. And so I was then elected as Minister of Equity and Resources. And so now I'm a member of the government and one of 12 cabinet members. So it's a bit of a trip, but
No, that sounds really awesome. And you're absolutely right. As an entrepreneur, we're always curious. We're always looking into, oh, what is this? What is this? And it's beautiful that you're able to provide this value. Hey, entrepreneurs might be, you know, maybe the 1% population of the world, but here's how they think. Here's how they're interconnected with societies and communities and whatnot, the value that they can bring. So I love that you get to be the Minister of Equity and Resources. Now, you're an outspoken advocate for the peaceful, non-military militarized exploration of space. Kind of sounds like Star Trek because that's what they were doing. And as I'm watching Star Trek Enterprise, There's a new series that started in 2020 I've been watching.
Man, I'm not a Trekkie, but that Star Trek Enterprise is the old one, right? With Kirk?
Yeah, that's the older one. This is a different
one.
Can't remember. But why do you think this conversation is so important right now? And what role can business leaders play in shaping it?
Well, I think it's really important. And you hit upon something. So I got to be a part of the very first SpaceX and NASA, I guess it was their legal conference, right? Mm-hmm. And so all of it was just generals and military personnel and lawyers. And we got to be a part of that. And so I was in that 3-day conference. And I remember it was like a 4-star general. And he said, the future of space is law, you lawyers, the lawyers out there, you're going to be the one to help us. Because we can't, at that point, when this was going on, China had launched like a 10-story rocket and it was falling back uninhibited and they had no idea where it would fall.
Yeah.
Now, chances are it would fall in water, but there was a big chance. We're talking a huge swath from like New York City down to like Charlotte, North Carolina, around the globe. That could have taken out an entire metro.
Yeah, yeah.
And they, I mean, for a while, a lot of scientists and people were terrified. They had no idea what was going to happen with this because there was no regulation. Nobody's following any laws. And it was really scary times. Now, we got very lucky. It went into the ocean and nobody died. Mm-hmm. But we got lucky, right?
Yeah.
And so he was talking about we've got to put some something on it, and it's got to be laws. We have to put the laws in place. And of course, he's an American general. He was like, America's going to win space, right? That was very much, it was very patriotic. But again, I'm from Asgardia, so I have people from all over the world, and I can see how people in other countries would be like, are we sure we want America to win space, right? And of course, I'm an American, so I'm like, yeah, we're the good guys, right? You know, this mentality, but really it has to be all of us, right?
Yes, it's all of us together.
It can't just be one entity. When that happens, then there becomes problems, right? And you can't have people going rogue. So we need more people involved in these sorts of discussions, which is why Asgardia is so important, because we need people from all over the world, all various backgrounds, to say that space is for all of us. The last thing we want is the Coca-Cola, you know, wars where like 8 million people died because they found a spice that can be, you know, that people get addicted to and they want to be the ones to sell it. Because that's what would happen. It wouldn't even be nations at this point. You know, out of the 100 largest economies on planet Earth, only 48 are nations. The rest are all corporations.
Amazing. It's insane.
Which a lot of people don't realize when we talk about our corporate overloads, that's not overlords. That's not a joke. That's actually a terrifying reality. Mm-hmm. And so if we're going to push against that and really put humanity first, then there's some important things we need to do. We need to see if we can even have children in space, right? That's one of Asgardia's goals. We're working with Spaceborne United. There's a lot of tech around that. And that's out of the Netherlands. And that company is that's what they're doing to see if, you know, there can be a fetus that can grow in space. Because there's a lot of things that happen when we're up there, you know, from radiation to the Coriolis effect. You know, if you're in space and you can turn your head a little bit way, then suddenly you're just spinning like this.
Oh, dang.
And you can't feel to stop it, right? So all those things can have a major impact. So,
Now, you mentioned something really important here is when we're going to space, you don't want one entity to own it. It's for all of us, our human race. And we kind of saw that come together in the book, The Martian, right? When Mr. I can't remember the name. Watney gets stuck on Mars. It's like, how are we going to bring it back? How are we going to bring it back? And then, you know, China and U.S. scientists, not the government, scientists were working together. Like, hey, we're just going to overlap because we want to save one of ours. And that's, you know, pretty awesome how they came together and they were able to save him, bring him back to Earth. Now, what parallels do you see between building a fair, ethical digital nation and running a thriving ethical business here on Earth?
Well, it's very similar because when you're trying to build a lot, like you just talk about it in the very micro, right? You're trying to build a team. Who do you need? You need certain stakeholders for the team. The people that can take you to one step aren't necessarily the people that'll take you to another, right? So you need to understand the stages of your business and how you're growing. And it isn't just by money, right? So you'll have a startup stage, then you'll have certain plateaus of growth and you have scaling. And it's when you start to hit certain markers, things happen. The same with building a nation. Yeah. Right. The people who started it, who had that energy, aren't necessarily the same people that are here right now, who aren't necessarily going to be the same people. You know, it's a much longer, you know, thing. We probably will die before we realize it, but we can still put together that effort. Right. And a company is the same way, but it's also you have to listen to stakeholders, which can be very hard when you're growing a business because it's your baby at first, right? There was one person who had a passion and a dream to get something done. And then if you do it well, it kind of takes a life of its own. Yes, it becomes its own thing. And it's very difficult emotionally and you know, even strategically of how to separate yourself from that brand, this entity you've created, and then you, but you have to be able to do it or you won't have any work-life balance whatsoever. You're going to learn to delegate. You need to learn to listen. You have to learn to be a leader and you need strong leadership. You have to honor and value the people that you work with, right? So
yeah,
there are absolutely, you know, it's very, very similar, very similar.
I love that, Jennifer. And you're absolutely right. You know, you've got to take different stages. Each stage is going to take you to that level. Just like stairs, you need to take the next step. You need to take 2 steps or 10 steps to get to the top of the floor. And these stages and the people that are in our lives are going to get you to that next level. And then you got to do, you know, basically go back to school or learn to how to get to the next stage. So the next person is going to take us
that you can't take them with you if you train them well. And I mean, there are some people that can go the whole journey, you know, they have that mindset of growth. They don't become married to ideas, right? They're like, okay, I will dump that. Let's show me what I'm supposed to do going forward. And that is a very specific skill set. Not a lot of people have that, right? And they're happy to grow in those different things. And some people are like, you know, I loved it until this point. Now I'm not happy. So I'm going to go do what I did before somewhere else. That's fine too. Exactly. You know, you do have to empower and provide the opportunities for the people to show you where they kind of want to go. And if you do it right, people will self-select out. Yeah. You know, they'll get to a point and they'll be like, I mean, in a business, if you're managing correctly, the people will leave. They'll be like, you know, I see the writing on the wall with this and I'm not having fun. And that's okay. Growing businesses, that's going to be fine. That, you know, that could have been the best role. And now things are changing because the market changes. And then there's no hard feelings, no harm, no foul. And you can help them into their journey wherever they're going to go. Ask them for a referral, someone who they think will be good for the role. Yeah. You know, it's all just about honoring people, being open and transparent. The old days of obfuscating everything, the old corporate way, if we don't talk about our salaries, we don't talk about this, though, that is not going to work. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it hasn't worked for a while. The new way of business is very open, transparent, and fluid communications.
100%, Jennifer. This has been so powerful, and I absolutely love the conversation we have so far. But let's take a quick detour. Now, when you're not working on space policy or fixing businesses, what's your way of turning your brain off and just cackling at something fun like True Blood?
I do love True Blood. But that was, I need to watch it again, as a matter of fact. No, I did love True Blood. I don't watch, we're not a big screen thing as far as TV goes. So I will find something like Game of Thrones or True Blood, Gilded Age. That was one I really loved that just came out. I love Jane Austen and that sort of stuff. But my biggest thing is I still love to game. So I'll go on Second Life. I, you know, built the embassy there. There are things I'll do on there. Not as much as I used to. My newest one is Dune. I like playing Dune Awakening. That's a new game that came out. I thought that was pretty fun. I've enjoyed that. And I have an entire group of friends. So, I'll be able to talk to them. But other than that, it's hanging out with my son. He's in college right now. So I don't get to hang out with him. He's went away. Mom's not so happy with that, but she's happy. I'm happy for him, but I miss him. I have to admit, I miss him a whole lot. So there's a lot totally of fun. You know, anytime I can spend time with my friends, I have a best friend. I have a pretty tight circle, but you know, my loved ones when I spend time with them. Yeah.
Tell me more about Dune Awakening. I've seen the first episode. I remember watching the whole 5-hour miniseries 30 years ago. But I know there's a new Dune remake.
That's the one with Travis Bimmel. I was talking about the video game Dune.
Right, that's what I meant. Game was based off of the new movie series, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, it is really fun. It's open world. It's Unreal Engine. It's beautiful, as far as... And it has a really incredible core story. So that's fun. But... And you can do it by yourself, but I would say it is... Man, I hate to say this. Now, it's still kind of in beta, right? It's not a fully fledged game. It just started. So I like ones like this because they'll break and they fix them and you can give input and stuff like that. But I loved it so much because I have a group. So when you have a group of people and you're pulling resources and you're helping with different things, that's more fun to me. By myself, I get scared. Yeah. Like, I'm a person who I have my little gun and I'm like, and I still get scared. Right. Yeah. And I'm good. Yeah. I'm good at it. Right. But I have to, I don't like some of the dungeons. Like you can go to a place and it's, the lights are flickering and it gives you scary music. And I have to do that with friends. That's too
which
scary.
Which platform is this game on? Because I would love to try it out for sure. I mean, I played No Man's Land, No Man's Sky. That was an amazing game. Mass Effect, I played that game a lot. I think I spent over 90 to 100 hours on that game.
That's a lot of hours. I don't even want to tell you my hours.
You probably have me beat for sure.
That'd be embarrassing. I would say that a PC is what I play it on, but I don't know if it plays on consoles too. It might.
Okay.
Because I don't have a console, so I don't play on a console. So I'm doing it strictly PC.
On the PC, is it through Origin or Steam?
Steam.
Okay. I love me some Steam. We do have a Steam VR headset. So does that work with Second Life also?
I don't know if it does. I know Second Life has a lot of plugins, and some of them are very adult plugins and things that you can buy for that.
Sure.
But that's different. You know, Second Life has like 67 million users. It's massive.
Wow.
The world. That's and in any given massive. Day, but I think every given day it's only like 50 or 60,000 that maybe will log in. But it's still a massive role, and it's been for 18 years?
Maybe even longer than that. Yeah.
I know that I think when I go in, it says like something like 17 years I've been in. Wow. It's a long time. Have been in a game. Like, it's an embarrassing long time. But I have a house. I've got my pets that look like,
you need to send me some screenshots of that so that we can, display it on this video when we publish it.
I'll give you the screenshots of the Asgardia when we had our party. Some screenshots there.
That'd be perfect. That'd be perfect.
I will. In fact, I had to, that we were having our, international conference in Dubai here at the end of the month. And I'll be presenting there. And that's one of the things I'll present, is because that was an event that we did. And so I had to submit to the Prime Minister my report, for equity and resources. And those are some of the pictures. I'll send those to you.
I love it. Jennifer, this has been an incredible two-part conversation. In the first one, we, you know, talked about how you got started in here. We talked about Asgardia, the consulting. Before we wrap up, where can people connect with you, learn more about your consulting work, and follow your journey with Asgardia?
Just go to superclinicproject.com. That's superclinicproject.com. And it's the simplest website that we built on purpose. And if you see my photo, you just click on it and it'll tell you everything you need to know about me. Right now I'm doing, for any podcast that I'm on, I'm doing a free challenge. So if you ever wanted to know about coaching, you can dip your toe into the water of that. And I will give you $10,000 worth of value in 15 minutes. It's not a sales pitch. Wow. You need to come there and say, this is my challenge. And we get our pens out and I get my AI, cause I have an entire dashboard of tools, and we'll work it out. You're going to walk away richer, or at least have the plan to get a lot richer than before the call.
I love it, Jennifer. Thank you so much for this episode and coming back on and sharing with us this amazing, amazing gift. Friends, if there's one thing I'm taking from this, it's that leadership grounded in ethics isn't just good for business. It's essential for humanity's future, whether we're building companies or exploring the stars. Jennifer, thank you so much for inspiring us. And to everyone listening, until next time, keep building, keep exploring, and keep hacking your way to success. Bye, everyone. Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.